Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the incident involving Balaam's donkey, or as the King James Version has it, Balaam's ass, is probably the best known part of the Balaam story, which extends from Numbers 22 through Numbers 24 and includes other passages in Scripture. Balaam has beaten his ass once, twice, three times. He is hopping mad. In fact, he is so angry that when the Lord opens the donkey's mouth and she speaks to Balaam, Balaam does not pause and think, "Hey, my donkey is speaking to me." No, he enters right into a conversation with his ass. Actually, it is more of a debate, and the donkey wins the debate. Thus, the question arises, who's the real ass in this story? But behind the humorous elements of our text lies a horror story. We see, first of all, the horror of sin and unbelief. Against this horror, however, we see the magnitude of God's grace and love. And in view of the continuing horror of sin and unbelief today, our text reminds us what we as pastors or future pastors are to do. The Balaam story is an example of the horror of sin and unbelief. What can we say about Balaam? He was quite familiar with Yahweh, the true God, the God of Israel. This may have been because he came from a region in which there was a community of Yahwists, and or because he heard about the great miracles which Yahweh performed for the Israelites in Egypt and in the wilderness. Balaam's acquaintance with Yahweh, the God of Israel, may have been one reason why Balak, the king of Moab, sent for him. Apparently, Yahweh had even in the past spoken to Balaam and given him revelations. So when he receives the request to come to Moab to curse the Israelites, Balaam wants to find out what God's will is, what Yahweh wants, whether he should go or not. When God did not give Balaam permission to travel, Balaam did not leave his home. Only when God gave him permission did Balaam set out for Moab. Balaam referred to Yahweh as my God. He warned Balak that he, Balaam, could speak only what Yahweh put in his mouth, that he must do whatever Yahweh said. Are these the words of a believer in the true God? The answer, tragically, is no. He sounded pious, but the Numbers accounts and other passages in Scripture make it clear that Balaam's heart was far from the Lord, that inwardly he was rebelling against Yahweh, that although he acknowledged the omnipotence of Yahweh and didn't want Balak to get his hopes too high, Balaam still wanted to manipulate Yahweh through the pagan practice of divination and sorcery. Balaam wanted to have his way, not Yahweh's. Despite Yahweh repeatedly indicating to him that he was not to curse the Israelites, Balaam secretly wanted to do that very thing. He went to Moab with the intention of cursing God's chosen people, and once there, he tried again and again to do this, hoping that Yahweh would change his mind and give in to Balaam's wish, or that he could pull a fast one on the Lord. What was behind Balaam's rebelling against Yahweh? His greed, his lust for the king of Moab's gold. As if this were not bad enough, the Balaam story gets worse. Despite the fact that Balaam knew Yahweh, that Yahweh caused him to utter not curses but blessings on the Israelites, prophecies about the future greatness of Israel, including a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Balaam's heart remained unchanged. He still wanted to be handsomely rewarded by Israel's enemies. Failing to curse the Israelites in the presence of Balak, he then went to the Midianites, who were the allies of the Moabites, and he counseled them how they could render Israel helpless. He advised the Midianites, and thus also the Moabites, to tempt the Israelites to eat the foods sacrificed to their idols, and then to join with them in idolatry, and then to engage in sexual immorality. Balaam knew the secret for defeating Israel. Seduce the Israelites away from Yahweh. His stratagem would have worked if Yahweh had not stepped in and taken decisive action against the sinners. Later, Balaam is slain with the Midianites. Thus, Balaam is an example of a horrible aspect of sin and unbelief. He knew Yahweh, the true God, but not with corresponding love and affection and obedience. He knew the truth, but he suppressed it for his own sinful purposes to satisfy his greed. This same horror continues today, of course. It is evident throughout the unbelieving world. People by nature reject the truth. They do not want to be obedient to the Lord. They want to be their own masters. They may not have heard the gospel, but they still suppress and pervert the truth which they do have. Their extensive natural knowledge of God, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 1. Many hear the gospel but reject it because it does not satisfy their pride. They want to be their own deliverers. They want to save themselves by their own efforts. That abortions take place today to a large extent is a matter of people knowing the truth. The unborn are human beings, but ignoring or rebelling against this truth for the sake of greed. All people are born with the same sinful, unbelieving nature, and a remnant of this old self still clings to each one of us, this remnant being called by the New Testament the flesh. The flesh always wants to have its way and not the way of the Lord. The flesh knows what is right, but always seeks to do the opposite. We are well aware of how often in our lives the flesh manifests itself with the sins which we commit. Against this horror of sin and unbelief, we see the magnitude of God's grace and love. Despite all people by nature being enemies of God, relentless in their opposition to the Lord, attempting even to manipulate God for their own sinful purposes, God loved and he continues to love corrupt humanity. Instead of sending everyone to hell, God showed his grace, his fantastic undeserved kindness, by sending his son to become a human being in order to provide a way of salvation for all people. This holy God-man, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life in the stead of every other person. He completely kept all of God's laws. He was totally submissive to the will of God the Father. And Jesus took the horrible load of the sins of all people upon himself and made full payment for those sins with his suffering and death on the cross. Then he arose from the dead, proving that he was the victor over sin, guaranteeing that his self-sacrifice actually does atone for every single transgression. In view of the continuing horror of sin and unbelief today, what ought our response to be as pastors or future pastors? We are to be faithful ministers of God's word and sacraments, keeping on proclaiming and teaching his word, especially the gospel. Why? The Lord promises that his word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he pleases. The Almighty God, who prevented Balaam from cursing the Israelites and caused him to bless them, who raised Jesus from the dead, who stopped the suppression of the gospel truth in atheistic, communistic Russia, through his word and sacrament, changes people. He does the impossible. He makes those who were his enemies into his dear children who love him and worship him. He brings them to faith in Jesus and creates in them, who were totally corrupt and who by nature rejected the truth, he creates in them the new person who is holy and righteous and wants to do only what is right and pleasing to God. He fashions them who resented his commands and were bent on fulfilling the desires of their sinful nature. He makes them into his willing, obedient servants. God has worked this miraculous change in us. Through faith in Jesus, we have forgiveness of all of our sins. We have everlasting life. We have the power to lead God-glorifying lives. And God will bless our ministry of word and sacrament. And He will use our ministries to bring others into His kingdom and to keep them in that blessed estate. The story of Balaam reminds us that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is a genuine believer. Not everyone will be saved. This story is a vivid illustration of the horror of sin and unbelief, of how people are by nature. It makes us realize the magnitude of God's grace and love that He sent His Son to die for sinful, wicked, rebellious ones. It gives us encouragement by showing that with God, nothing is impossible. He who foiled the evil intentions of Balaam can thwart any and all evil forces and plans. He can and does convert people. Let us therefore boldly proclaim His word, trusting in God to produce the results. Amen.